The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11.
But first, in federal politics, I caught up with Senator Sarah Henderson a short time ago, and I began by asking her about what's in store for the year ahead.
Well, Mitch, this year is all about the Morrison government focusing on the health and well-being of all Australians. So our focus is in rolling out the vaccine, in, of course, combating the COVID-19 pandemic and driving our economic recovery. And, of course, that is all about jobs, and that is our focus.
Is this likely to be an election year, do you think? And, of course, we'll all be very interested to see what happens in Corangamite.
Well, the Prime Minister has indicated that it's his intention to go the full term, and so that is what he has said about the next election. But one thing that we do know, we learnt this on Insiders yesterday, in contrast to our suite of policies, the enormous efforts that the Morrison government is making to get Australians back on their feet, including by spending $267 billion in economic support, we have seen from Labor a party and an opposition which has, even in Bill Shorten's words, a tiny policy agenda. And yesterday on Insiders, Richard Marles, who's been appointed the Shadow Minister for National Reconstruction, the only policy he had was a promise that he would not do what Labor presented in 2019, which was $387 billion of new taxes. So for us, leading up to the next election, frankly, this is all about getting Australians the support they need, getting Australia back on its feet through the incredible amount of work that we are doing to protect the health of Australians and through our economic recovery plan.
And in terms of COVID-19, I believe the federal opposition is criticising the federal government for not doing more in terms of hotel quarantine. They say that quarantine is a federal government responsibility. Given what we've seen in Victoria and WA, is it time for the federal government to take over hotel quarantine and run that program?
Look, it is regrettable, Mitch, that we are seeing nothing but sniping from the sidelines from the opposition, and I think that's why they are in such trouble and Anthony Albanese's leadership is in such trouble. The bottom line is that we have helped some 211,000 Australians return from overseas. It has been the most incredible program. Just imagine the logistics of running that sort of program. And we have had a handful of people now. Obviously, the second wave in Victoria was very, very concerning. But when hotel quarantine is run properly, when there is mandatory quarantine for 14 days, we have been incredibly successful. We're one of the few countries which instituted this very, very early, unlike, say, the likes of the UK, which didn't. And, of course, the situation in the UK at the moment is just really very, very traumatic. So this is a program that has worked extremely well on the whole, with the exception of what happened with the second wave in Victoria. And we will continue to bring Australians home using the mandatory quarantine process, which, of course, is the advice of our medical health experts.
Do you have faith in the state-run quarantine program here in Victoria?
Well, I didn't. And that's, of course, was evident by the fact that the hotel quarantine program led to, was the, you know, the cause or one of the primary causes of the death of more than 800 Victorians. But now the Victorian government has certainly improved the system here in Victoria. We are seeing a rapid increase in contact tracing. So certainly things are much better than they were, which is very, very heartening. The bottom line is, Mitch, that we are working very hard to bring all Australians home. I have to say, locally, my office has helped bring many local residents home. We've been working around the clock for months and months to support Australians coming home, including through the repatriation flights which we are running. And we've actually supported something like directly 38,000 Australians coming home on 500 flights. And that's just in recent months. So it's been very, very challenging. But when you look at the results on the ground, when you look at the very few cases that we have got one report this morning of a Victorian hotel quarantine worker who has been found to be positive. But we only have a couple of cases in Victoria. We do need to find out how that occurred. Of course, that should not be occurring. But overall, that the vaccination program that we are running, the way that we are protecting the health of Australians, the quarantine program has led to one of the best results in terms of community transmission of any country in the world.
Now, the vaccine rollout, when will the vaccine for COVID-19 be coming to Geelong?
Well, the vaccine rollout will begin in late February, and very importantly, there will be priority groups which will receive the vaccine first. So they include disability and aged care workers. They include elderly people living in aged care homes. They include frontline health workers. So that logistical exercise is obviously a massive one. It's perhaps one of the biggest peacetime logistical exercises that we will see in this country. We have secured more than 150 million doses of various vaccines, but the logistical exercise in relation to prioritising the rollout is well underway, and we expect that to begin in late February.
There's some scepticism in the community, and some people are perhaps reluctant to have the vaccine. How will the government encourage those people to participate in the vaccination program?
Well, what's very important about our vaccine rollout is that it's free and it's voluntary. And that's always been a very important principle. And the TGA, the Therapeutic Goods Association, they have approved the Pfizer vaccine. They are in the process of approving the AstraZeneca vaccine. And I had a briefing in Canberra last week with the head of the TGA. And he made it very, very clear that no vaccine will be approved unless it is found to be safe. And that is the bottom line for our government.
And we, of course, saw Tanya Plibersek and Craig Kelly. The criticism from some in the opposition is the government's giving out a mixed message about the vaccine when some people in its ranks are sceptical about that. Your thoughts?
Oh, from the Prime Minister down, we've made it very clear that all Australians should follow the expert medical advice, not go to unauthorised sites on Facebook or anywhere else for their information. It's very important that Australians rely on expert medical advice, and of course led by the TGA, which is doing a fabulous job in scrutinising the efficacy of our vaccines, and that's why they're still doing the work on AstraZeneca. And Australians can be assured that we have the very, very best processes in place to ensure that these vaccines are safe.
And the winding back of some of the payments, the support payments in the coming months, and I saw Anthony Albanese up in Cairns talking to tourism operators about that. Is it time to do that? Can the economy now start to stand on its own two feet, or is there an argument to be made that some of these payments should be lasting longer?
Well, Mitch, we have seen the creation of 734,000 jobs. So we have, in terms of our economic recovery, we are moving at a faster pace than was anticipated by Treasury. We have seen more than $40 billion of support going into Victoria. And as I mentioned before, the Morrison government has expended $267 billion. Now, we are doing that across all sectors of the economy, whether it be tourism and hospitality, JobKeeper, JobTrainer, the support that we're providing businesses through measures such as the instant asset write-off, through the cash boost, and, of course, the incredible support that we are giving all Australians through our health system. You'll remember that we expended an extraordinary amount of money through telehealth so that Australians could connect with a doctor via telephone or via the internet. And now we are, of course, rolling out the vaccine, which is free, and investing many billions of dollars in our health measures across the economy. So that is our focus, and we are very, very proud to be working shoulder to shoulder with all Australians in our measures to get, as I say, to get Australia back on its feet and to get all Australians back into work.
Now, I saw you on the TV news last night talking about the Rip Curl Pro, and that is continuing on today, some of the debate around that. Are Victorians right to be cynical about bringing extra people in from overseas into hotel quarantine, given that we've already seen a sort of outbreak and the risk of it jumping through COVID-19 to the broader population as a result of the tennis? Should we be putting all overseas events on hold until the vaccine rolls out?
Well, Mitch, I'm not sure whether you have correctly interpreted the feelings of Victorians about this issue, because when I was down at Bells Beach yesterday and I went to a function last night, people are horrified that we have lost the Rip Curl Pro and it's gone to New South Wales. Now, the only reason that has happened is because the Victorian government rejected a COVID-safe plan, which would have meant that 120 international surfers and their support staff would have gone into mandatory quarantine. Now, that was not the commitment of the tennis players, and that involved some 1,200 people coming into Australia. And, of course, that's why things became so chaotic and messy, because there wasn't a plan whereby they automatically went into 14 days quarantine. So here we had one charter flight where all people were going to go into 14 days mandatory quarantine, and the Victorian government rejected this plan. And this has cost us dearly, some $10 million in our regional economy as a result of losing this very important event. We've already lost Cadel Evans this year, the road race, which is also a very important local event for our economy. But to lose the Rip Curl Pro, for it to go to New South Wales, where the New South Wales government was well able to manage their border issues so that this one flight of competitors could come into New South Wales, it really is a shocking decision. It's caused huge damage to our local economy. And I say shame on Daniel Andrews and Victorian State Labor. And I saw a pathetic Facebook post from Darren Cheeseman, who's not telling the people of South Barwon the truth, and Libby Coker, the member for Corangamite, is absolutely missing in action. She's not said a thing. She never stands up for her community. She never puts the community first. And this is yet another example. So I am really upset about this decision. It's a shocking decision for our region, for our wonderful surfing community, for our regional economy, at a time when our hospitality and tourism operators need every bit of support they can get.
Do you think it will come back after a year from Newcastle, or once it's up there, will they keep it at Newcastle permanently?
Well, Martin Foley, the health minister, yesterday said, "Oh, we'll be welcoming it back in 2022. There are three more rounds of the competition through the World Surf League in Australia. So I was even hoping that perhaps it could come back in another form at some stage in the next few months. But the Victorian government has ruled that out as well. So it just seems to me that they're all very well and good about supporting a big sporting events in the middle of Melbourne. But once again, we see this Victorian government treat regional Victorians as second-class citizens. So all I can say is I really hope that this event comes back next year. I mean, if I had known about this in advance, I would have been doing everything to ensure that this decision would not have been made in the first place. I mean, it is just extraordinary. And as I say, we need every bit of support in regional Victoria, because there are still many people that are suffering, that have been very severely financially hurt by the pandemic. And to lose some $10 million in our local economy is a real shock, and a shocking indictment on Daniel Andrews and his government.
Senator, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Yeah, great to talk to you, Mitch. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Senator Sarah Henderson.
The Mitchell's Front Page podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 to 11. Or search for Mitchell's Front Page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.